We're saying the district plan hearings were up to 14, Ms. Baker Calloway, you're here, led by Trustees Limited. Mr. Page has alerted me to the fact that he would like to raise a procedural issue before you kick off the case for the submitter. So I'll ask him to tell me what it is, and then we'll discuss how we're going to handle it. Mr. Page.
Yes, good morning, thank you. I gather, right, firstly I'm here for John May. I gather from the council's website that it's proposed to receive, or rather to produce a supplementary brief for Mr. Chris Ferguson during the course of the day. I want to signal firstly, that will presumably require your leave to do that, and secondly, if leave is sought, then Mr. May opposes that leave being granted.
What I had intended to do was to ask Ms. Baker Galloway whether she proposed to make such an application. Having signalled that if Mr. Ferguson was going to produce revised plan provisions, I suggested that it would best done early. And certainly I don't think 36 hours before this hearing quite qualifies, but there's a broader issue, as Mr. Page alerts us to. So, Ms. Baker Galloway, do you have an application? In fact, we're going to get picky about it, and we'll talk about Ms. Pfluger's supplementary brief as well, which arrived at 5 o'clock yesterday, and which I have to confess I have only scanned on a computer screen.
And I wasn't aware of it at all.
Indeed. So, Ms. Baker Galloway, do you have an application for me?
Yes, so before I formally seek leave for that supplementary evidence, I'll provide some context. As you're aware, we sought direction from the panel for caucusing after receiving the council's rebuttal evidence, so that by the time we came to today, we'd narrowed points of difference as much as possible between the experts so as to be of assistance to the panel. Due to the primarily the practical restrictions that, because Mr. Barr has to be present, as you've noted, for all of the hearing days, it simply wasn't fair or practical for that caucusing to take place with Mr. Barr in particular. Therefore, instead of that route being pursued to narrow points of difference, instead, as flagged in that memorandum seeking directions for caucusing, Mr. Ferguson has continued to work on the planned provisions to address the points raised in council's experts' evidence to try and narrow points of difference by refining the provisions in the direction that the council's evidence gave grounds for it to be refined towards. So what he has produced in the supplementary brief is just that. It's a further refined set of plan provisions that impose additional restrictions to address the points raised by council's witnesses. As you indicated in your response to my application to not direct caucusing, it may be that after today, caucusing would further assist to further narrow points of difference. And I would have assumed that if that process takes place, or were it to take place, there would be a process to allow for interested submitters to also take part and or respond to the points narrowed during caucusing, and have a formal role in it. With Ms. Pfluger's evidence, her supplementary information is also in response to Dr. Reed's rebuttal, primarily in respect of the 8 additional home sites that are being sought to illustrate the work that's been done in terms of visibility and so on, which underlay her position and her evidence in chief. So it was in response to the comments made that the information wasn't on the table that supported Ms. Fluger's expert opinion that those additional sites were appropriate from a visual landscape point of view. So again, it was in response to the council's rebuttal. So on the basis that those two supplementary briefs are in direct response to the council's rebuttal and are an attempt to further narrow issues of contention and are on points that are of direct relevance to the panel, I formally seek leave for those supplementary briefs to be heard by the panel because they are relevant. They address the council's rebuttal and they further narrow points of difference between us and the council. And if there's required to be a process for submitters to respond in a manner that's fair and so on, obviously you have the ability to enable that to occur.
Is that another way of saying you won't object if I give Mr. Page leave to file a planning response before he appears next week?
Oh, how can I object to that? It's only fair that further submitters on our original submission have the ability to respond in order that, natural justice and so on and so forth is looked after.
Yes, people glass houses, I think. Mr. Page, would you care to respond?
Well, I have the sense that this is being treated by Lyndon Bay trustees as if it were a resource consent application, with the only issues at stake being the application, their submission and the council. In fact, there are a number of parties, my client's only one, who are submitters on this process. I'm aware, for example, the Upper Clutha Environmental Society is also a submitter and isn't here. Now, the difficulty that my client has is that we lodged evidence on the submission, which is what the Act requires to do. There has been a further revision of the proposal which has come in through the submitter's Lyndon Bay trustees' evidence in chief, which substantially changed what the submission proposal was. And now we have yet a third iteration, which has overtaken my client's evidence. And we have the very difficult position that if you accept the proposal to receive Mr. Ferguson's supplementary brief in particular, because I haven't seen what Ms. Fluger has to say, then all of the evidence that you will receive and hear and discuss next week that my client wishes to present is then out of sequence of what the proposal is. Now, we don't even know whether what Mr. Ferguson now proposes in supplementary evidence is a formal refinement of the original submission, or whether that submitter simply wants to keep their options open and is putting up something else to be talked about. I don't understand from it the evidence what its status is. Is the original submission being amended or is it not? We left with a thoroughly unsatisfactory sequence of events where the council's rebuttal isn't the final word on what the state of the evidence is. It's kept moving. My client won't know next week that it presents its submission what the council's reporting officers think of the supplementary evidence from Mr. Ferguson and won't be able to react to that. So I simply can't see how we can satisfactorily proceed next week if what is being proposed by Lyndon Bay trustees keeps moving. So I don't want to be in the position of having to suggest to my client that they invest yet more money in seeing if the witnesses can redo their briefs of evidence between now and next week. My submission, the evidence is closed, your directions were clear. Removing fees should stop.
I have to say, I have some sympathy with your position, and Mr. Page, I had even more sympathy when I was reading Mr. Ferguson's revised planning provisions at 6:30 this morning. The issue I have is that head matters proceed in accordance with our directions, the process that would then have followed is that my colleagues and I would have endeavoured to distill the principal criticisms that Mr. Barr had, and indeed Dr. Reed had, of the Glenview Bay evidence, and would have sought to tease them out today with Glenview Bay's witnesses. Whereupon Mr. Ferguson would have pulled from his back pocket what he has now put in evidence, and would have said, well, I can address this by doing this, that, and the next thing, which is what he's now put on the paper. And I appreciate that the way it has panned out has prejudiced the further submitters. But if it had proceeded as I've outlined, that would prejudice them even more, because you'd be hopefully sitting listening in the back, or worse, listening to the transcript trying to follow the discussion. So that's what my thinking is at the moment, and I'd invite you to respond to that observation.
Well, the answer to that is that that could still yet happen. When Mr. Ferguson gives his evidence, presumably this afternoon, he might still, in response to your questions, express a professional opinion that changes to provisions might be desirable. But there's no ability for us to manage that, other than to deal with it as matters progress. What I want to know is, what are my witnesses to respond to? Are they giving evidence on the submission? Are they giving evidence on the provisions that were lodged with the evidence in chief? Are they giving evidence on the supplementary evidence that is now being proposed? What is the proposal that the other submitters are having to respond to? And at the moment, the thing just keeps moving. In my submissions, that's not a fair process. Certainly, if there are issues that arise from discussions with the witnesses in this forum this afternoon that my client should react to, well, that's inherent in the hearing process. There's no way you can manage that. What you can manage is stopping the continual slide of this proposal for the zoned parking space.
Fair question, Ms. Baker Galloway. What is Mr. Page responding to? Has the proposal moved that what is in Mr. Ferguson's supplementary evidence is a revised proposal?
It is the evidence that you will have, if leave is granted, is in support of the plan provisions that Mr. Ferguson attaches to a supplementary evidence. We are not formally changing the submission, but the evidence that you have to consider is in respect of the version appended to Mr. Ferguson's evidence. So there is not evidence for you to consider in relation to that original submission version. And if I can also just note that the version that was appended to Mr. Ferguson's evidence in chief, and then the version now appended to Mr. Ferguson's supplementary evidence, each of those versions progressively tighten up and narrow and better control the effects of the proposal, so that the scope, if you like, of the activities being considered in the context of the proposed zone is reduced and refined with each iteration. So there's not an increase of scope of activities proposed, compared to the original submission, so there's no leaking over that boundary. There's only each iteration has been a reduction and a refinement of the controls and so on that are proposed to fit within the zone. So there's clearly jurisdiction for what is now on the table, because it sits between the rural zone as notified by the district council and the submission as lodged by my client. We sit squarely within that. It's just the detail of the controls have progressively been refined as we've considered the evidence proposed primarily by the council, because I do also note that Mr. May has not presented any rebuttal evidence to our evidence in chief. So in that sense, we don't know what Mr. May's response is to our evidence in chief as tabled back in April.
That just addressing the issue of scope. Your witnesses have identified that some of the what I call subzones, activity areas, have altered in location. So, literally, as regards some areas of the site, it's now proposed that they be used for different purposes than was the case in your original submission. And so, for instance, I think of the extension of the golf course over the Fernberg. Does that create scope issues? Because that's not a... We're trespassing here into the substance, but I think it's important to tease this out. I want to know whether this is a jurisdictional issue or a process issue.
Well, in terms of the effects of that extension, as submitted, it was proposed to be the OS/F, which is the farming area, and then as it was refined in evidence, the golf area extended over that. And you heard from Dr. Oberlindsay last week that the effects in ecological terms were better if it's golf rather than OSF, in terms of vegetation regeneration and protection of the fern burn.
I think you go to merits rather than to scope.
The scale of effects is relevant to scope. And you'll hear from Ms. Pfluger as well as to the difference in visual effects of it being OS/F or golf. The other only difference in boundaries of the activity areas relates to the lakeshore area. And again, you'll hear from Ms. Pfluger that in terms of effects, that change is better, it's preferable in terms of visual effects.
Well, we'll go one more circle, and then I'll confer with my colleagues and tell you what we're proposing to do. Mr. Page, do you say it's a scope issue, or is it a fairness of process issue for you, or both?
I haven't turned my mind to the jurisdictional issue that you've just raised with council, so I'm not in a position to make submissions on that. I am raising a fairness of process issue. I did not detect from what my friend just told you whether the submission is to be formally constrained as set out in the supplementary evidence of Mr. Ferguson or not, or whether they were keeping their powder dry from the original scope of the original submission lodged. That needs to be clarified. I'll be dealing with the provisions that Mr. Ferguson now promotes, and we're dealing with the entire scope of what was originally applied for. And I raise the further problem, sir, that when Mr. May comes to present his submission next week, we will not know what the council staff think of the provisions that Mr. Ferguson now promotes, and we will not find that out until the council staff exercise their right of reply at the end. In my submission, that's not fair either. We should be hearing from the council staff about what they think of the proposal that you have to decide before my clients have to give their evidence. And just as an observation, the discussions that have taken place, I'm sure that there's an implicit, and you know it, between Mr. Ferguson and Mr. Barr have not involved my planning witness, Mr. Taylor. So Mr. Taylor is completely blind to whatever discussions has taken place between those two experts.
Your application, you have the right to reply.
The final point is really just to reflect back something you said earlier on in the conversation, Mr. Chair, that this the sequence is inevitable in any event, because you as a panel would be wanting to inquire of my witnesses what they thought of and if their position had changed in response to matters raised by council's experts on matters that you consider relevant. So there is already going to be an iterative conversation and a moving of positions of the evidence and what provisions that evidence can support that other submitters always inevitably have to deal with in this process. And there's no perfect way of doing that because you can't have endless rights of reply and so on. What we've done by putting down in writing our responses to council's experts' issues is in a sense fairer than that iterative oral process that would have otherwise been undertaken today, because it does make it clear to yourselves and all parties exactly what our experts' current positions are based on what they know and what they've considered. And it makes it easier and fairer in that sense, rather than, as you noted, simply sitting and listening to a transcript, taking notes and so on, and trying to respond on the fly in a similar fashion in a week. So I seek leave on the basis that the supplementary evidence actually assists further submitters in digesting the evidence in support of the planning provisions attached to our experts' evidence.
I'll adjourn the hearing to discuss with my colleagues. I think we'll probably take 10 minutes.
Thank you.